It is not enough to know or to believe. We must act on God's word. What if Jesus did not act on his word and did not go to the cross?
Welcome to A Word from God with your host and teacher, James Lindley.
The title of this episode is The Golden Rule and was recorded live at Grand Community Church in Springfield, Missouri.
Hi, this is Misha Pelkey, and before we get started, I want to remind you that James loves hearing from his listeners. Drop him a line via email at james@awordfromgod.net. That email again is james@awordfromgod.net. Or write to James Lindley Ministries, P.O. Box 8082, Springfield, Missouri, 65801. That address again is James Lindley Ministries, P.O. Box 8082, Springfield, Missouri, 65801. Now here's your host and teacher, James Lindley.
Today's sermon is The Golden Rule. That's Matthew chapter 7, verse 12. I'm reading out of the ESV. So whatever you wish that others would do to you, do also to them. For this is the law and the prophets. Heavenly Father, I ask that you will anoint me to speak your words today. I ask, O Lord, that you will root your words upon our hearts. And all of God's people said, Amen. You may be seated. Well, this is Jesus, and he's telling us to treat people the way we would like to be treated. Love is the greatest command, and no one loves anyone more than they do themselves. Amen to that? We're always looking after for who? Number one, right? So Jesus challenges us to apply our own love for self to the lives of others. So imagine for a moment if you could actually express love for people in the same exact way that you express love for yourself. And imagine for a moment if everyone did the same. There would be no wants, there would be no hurts, there would be no needs that were unmet if everyone followed this golden rule. So my first point is a rule to live by. A rule to live by. If you're like me, you don't like rules. I don't think many people do like rules, right? But this is a good rule because this is the one rule in your life that if you live by it, things will go a lot better, not only for yourself, but for all of the people that you come into contact with. This verse echoes what is known as the Golden Rule, and that's why we're referring to it today. It is one of the most well-known things Jesus taught concerning righteous living. So basically, what this Golden Rule dictates is, if you want to know what's right, look within yourself and ask yourself, how would you want to be treated? And then apply it to the lives of other people. Jesus is actually quoting from Leviticus, Old Testament Leviticus, chapter 19, verse 18. You shall not take vengeance or bear a grudge against the sons of your own people, but you shall love your neighbor as yourself. I am the Lord. I like the way he ends that statement. I am the Lord. That means he has the authority to command that. That means that he has the perfection to command that. It means he knows what he's talking about. Because sometimes we can listen to what God has to say and we want to argue, but here he is basically saying, I am the Lord. That should stop all argument right there, amen? The Golden Rule reveals the heart of God. The Golden Rule reveals the heart of God. If you want to know how God loves you like he loves himself. It reveals his heart to us. God has done to us just as he wants us to do to him. But could you imagine if God did to us what we deserve? I would be in a lot of trouble. I don't know about the rest of you, but Pastor would be in a lot of trouble if God treated me the way I deserved to be treated. But he has actually done the opposite. He has treated me the way he would want to be treated. The difference is that he is without sin. But I'm not. He is without fault, but I'm not. But because of the way he treats me through Jesus Christ, I'm blameless. Because he has treated me the way he would want to be treated. If he was in the same circumstance, what an amazing God. What a loving God. What a forgiving God. What a gracious God we have, that he applies the golden rules to us. If we believe and we come to him and we ask him, God wants us to live by this rule here and now. You see, people say, I'm preparing for heaven and one day I'll be perfect like God. He wants us to practice this now. He doesn't want you to wait until the kingdom comes. There's people right now that are suffering because people are not living by this rule. And as you look at the newspapers and the news headlines on television, you can see that the world is getting further and further away from this golden rule. People are becoming very selfish today. People are becoming very greedy today. People are becoming very judgmental today. The golden rule dictates to us that we should first look at ourselves. We should first look at ourselves to peek into our innermost feelings and then respond to others accordingly. Look at yourself first and ask, if this was me in this situation, if the role was reversed, how would I feel about this? Somebody owes you money, and you want to collect every penny that they owe you. But if you were to look at your own life and your own past, you would see that you gypped a few people out of a few pennies yourself. And you wanted to be excused from owing that money and paying that money back. Did you not? The following are facts about the golden rule that set it apart from all other teachings on human behavior. The golden rule, number one, the golden rule summarizes all the law into one simple statement. So you can take the entire Bible and put it right in to this statement as far as human behavior and what God wants from your lifestyle. Number two, the golden rule demands. It does not suggest. It demands truth, justice, and sincere love. How many of you in here have heard people say, I will be there for you, brother. I will be there for you, sister. But they're not, because something came up. But boy, if it was on the other, if the shoe was on the other foot, they would hold you to your word. Well, Romans 12:9 says, let love be genuine. Abhor what is evil. Hold fast to what is good. You see, in today's society, too many people are holding fast to things that are evil. In today's society, people are practicing insincere love. People are practicing a love that is superficial and conditional. I will love you as long as I feel like it. I will love you as long as it's convenient for me. But the moment that I change my mind, the moment that it's inconvenient for me, I'm not going to love you anymore. In today's society, we use love very loosely. I feel a lot of love for you. Your feelings don't do anything for me. It's your actions. I need you to show me that you love me. The golden rule is concerned with positive and active behavior. It holds you responsible. You see, I can't be responsible for what you guys do when you leave this church. I can't even be responsible for what you're doing while you're here at this church. The golden rule holds you responsible because now you know in one statement what God demands of us, what he desires for us. The golden rule is concerned with positive and active behavior. In the book of James, chapter 1, verse 22, James tells us, but be doers. Everybody say doer. But be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. You see, when you listen to the word of God, you come here on Sunday and I'm giving you scripture and I'm giving you teaching and you listen to this and you leave here and you don't practice what you've heard. The Bible tells us we are deceiving ourselves. You're not fooling God, and you're not fooling the people around you. You can have every excuse in the world for not obeying the word of God, but the only person that you are deceiving is who? You. You. Everybody else sees through you, and God saw you coming before you got there. That's why James tells us that we must be doers of the word. We must practice what your pastor is preaching. The golden rule leaves nothing out and nothing to ponder. You can't argue with this rule. You can't argue with it, and you don't have to figure it out. Every human being wants to be treated with what? Love. Everybody say love. Respect and justice. There's not a person in here that does not want to be loved. I don't care who you are. You need it. You desire it. You crave it. There's not a person in here that doesn't want respect. Common respect. Common respect. And who doesn't want justice? Who doesn't want that? People want mercy for themselves, even when they don't deserve it. Have you ever found yourself in a situation? Maybe you got caught speeding, and you try to talk your way out of that ticket. You didn't deserve it, but you were sure hoping that that cop wasn't going to write that ticket. Right? Maybe you owed somebody a debt, and you couldn't pay it. You're sure hoping they'd say, just forget it. Mercy. Maybe you tapped somebody on the bumper and you didn't want your insurance going up. And you were sure hoping that the other fellow or lady in the car was going to give you mercy, even though you don't deserve it. Even though there's been times that you didn't give mercy to other people. When you find yourself in trouble, you want mercy. You want to get out of trouble. Don't you? Isn't that human nature? Let's be honest with ourselves. People want love from others even when they don't give it. You know, some of the meanest, nastiest, rudest people you know are starving. Not because nobody loves them, but because they're not given love. Did you know that if you don't display love to other people, you can actually be starving yourself? Your heart is so hard, you become miserable. And now you become one of these people, nobody loves me. I just want everyone to love. If you want someone to love you, try loving someone that don't deserve it. Try giving something back before you start asking for it in return. But people want it, even when they don't be given it. That's human nature. People want help from others, even when they don't always give it back. Now, this comes to mind when I was writing this. You get a flat tire on the highway in the middle of nowhere, and it's 100 degrees outside, or it's below freezing outside, whatever the weather may be. And you know you want someone to stop and help you with that tire, especially if you don't have the tools or the manpower to get it changed. But how many times do we drive past somebody on the highway with a flat tire or a broken down car? But when we're that person on the highway, man, we're wanting help. But we pass people all the time. I don't know why that comes to me. I feel bad when I've passed people on the highway. I feel bad because I'm not a mechanic, and I pray for them. When I see people broke down, I literally say a small prayer that God will send somebody to go fix their car for them on the highway. But people want help from others even when they don't always give it back. Look, you hear about somebody not being able to pay their electric bill, you say, man, that's terrible. But when it's your electric bill, you're hoping to God that somebody will help you. When you hear somebody needing some extra cash or anything, you feel bad about it. But do you always help? But when it's your turn and you're having those problems, you're wanting help. That's human nature. If we desire something for ourselves, we should be willing and ready to give it to others in spite of how we feel or whether or not the other person deserves it. Now, this is the heart of the golden rule because it doesn't let us pick who we're going to treat with love. You see, God's eliminated all of the people you don't like. The golden rule dictates our duty to one another. It lays out the principle by which we are to ascertain what is right or wrong to do. You see, there's no more questioning of whether or not I should help my enemy. If I'm able to do it, I should do it. I'm not saying help your enemy destroy you. That's not what I'm saying. I'm saying if your enemy is hungry, feed them. And if your enemy is thirsty, give them something to drink. It is more than not doing wrong. The golden rule is more than not doing wrong. It's more than not lying, cheating, or stealing. It's more than just doing the right thing, helping, caring, and giving. The golden rule forces us to look and to seek for ways to treat others the way we want to be treated. The golden rule reveals who we really are. The golden rule puts us in touch with God because as we are pondering whether or not we should help the person that's in need, we're actually looking into our own self and saying, if this was me, wouldn't I want somebody to be reaching out and trying to help me in this situation? And it also forces us to look back in the situations where we see our own shortcomings. You see, it's far too easy to look at the person in need and say to them or to ourselves, well, they're in that situation because they did it to themselves. Have you ever heard somebody say that about another person? I knew that was going to happen to them. I ain't going to help them. They deserve where they're at. That's just a way of excusing yourself from the situation. That's not the golden rule in action. The golden rule forbids us to, one, treat others like we feel they should be treated. See, you're not the judge. God is. So the golden rule dictates that we cannot treat people the way we feel that we should treat them. So there goes the judging factor. Number two, the golden rule forbids us to treat others the way they treat us. Good for good, evil for evil. Just in case anybody was thinking that, if somebody curses you, don't curse them back. If somebody hates you, don't hate them back. That's not the golden rule. If somebody despises you, don't despise them back. If someone slanders you, don't slander them back. If somebody does not give to you when you're in need, don't withhold from them when they are in need and you're able to give. Number two, three simple steps to fulfilling the golden rule. See, I'm going to help you out today. Three simple steps. Number one, learn and know what Christ teaches us. I'll say it again. Learn and know what Christ teaches us. The Bible is filled with all sorts of instructions on how to treat other people. and how to treat them even when you don't feel like treating them good. The Bible is filled with all sorts of common sense and principles that we can apply to our own life and the lives of other people. But you cannot live out the golden rule if you do not learn and know what Christ teaches. Today's Christians are ignorant of the Word of God. They come to church and they get a few scriptures and they think that that is going to feed them the entire week. Well, if that's the way you believe, I have a challenge for you. Go home today and eat one meal and wait till Sunday before you eat again and see how well you fare through the week. You see, you need physical food to make it through the week, don't you? You'd probably make it to Monday, maybe Tuesday. By Wednesday, you'd be really drained. By Thursday, you probably wouldn't want to get out of bed. By Friday, you probably wouldn't be hungry anymore, but you wouldn't be very strong. By Sunday, we'd probably have to carry you in the church, some of us, right? I know me. I probably wouldn't make it to Sunday. The point is that if you don't know what Christ teaches, if you don't learn what he's teaching, how can you apply it to other people's lives? How can you apply it to your own life? You can't. You got to know something before you can live it out. Number two, believe what Christ teaches us. I know lots of people that know the Bible, but they don't believe it. No, they don't believe a word. If you don't believe something, you're not going to act on it. I can spot a fake Christian any day of the week because I know when they start talking about the Bible and they're not believing it, they're not a real Christian. How can you say that, Pastor? Because Jesus said that all those who believe in him are his disciples, right? All those that believe. It's not about knowledge. Lots of people know about Jesus. Not everybody believes in him. To believe in somebody is to follow somebody. To follow somebody is to trust somebody. To trust somebody is, again, to believe in somebody. Amen? I need a good amen on that one. Number three, do what Christ teaches us. You know it. You believe it. Now do it. Do what Christ teaches us. Because you got Christians that actually know the Bible. And you got Christians that actually believe the Bible. But some of them don't do. That's why we read the verse in James. That's why the Bible tells us, don't just be hearers. It is not enough to know or to believe. We must act on God's word. What if Jesus did not act on his word and did not go to the cross, but just talked about it? What if he was still talking about it today and never did it? Salvation would never come. All the knowledge and belief in the world will not get anything done unless action is taken. You guys know what I'm talking about. If you guys have a job that requires action and you go to that job and you just sit there all day long and you don't do anything, do you really earn your pay? No. You just took money for nothing. You showed up. How many of you guys gone to places where it looks like the people that work there just show up for their job but don't do it? Come on. It's annoying, isn't it? How many people work with people like that? And you're doing their job and yours. It's frustrating, isn't it? But guess what? That's required of you under the golden rule. You can't complain. You can't ponder it. You can't argue with it. That is your duty as a Christian, as a disciple of Jesus Christ, to do it anyways. I didn't say you had to like it. I'm just telling you what God says. You want to keep your job? Just keep doing it. James 2:19, even the demons believe and shudder. How many of you guys know that the demons believe in Jesus? Read the Gospels. They called him out. They knew Jesus as soon as they saw him. They would call him out in the synagogues. Jesus, Son of the Most High God. They were calling him out in the synagogues to accuse him in front of all the people, calling him the Son of God. They knew who he was before the people knew who he was. They knew. They believe. So why are they rejected by God? They believe. They don't repent. They don't repent. They know the goodness of God. They won't repent. They're fallen angels. They've seen the full glory of God, person to person. They know, they believe, they don't repent. They do not live by the golden rule. They live by their own rules and not by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. And if you want to live, you have to live by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God, because when he comes back, he's going to set up his kingdom here. His kingdom is going to come, and his word will be law. Number three is my last point. Love even your enemies as you love yourself. But Pastor, I should introduce you to my enemy, and you'll change your mind. I got enough of them, thank you. But I have found that the golden rule makes my life easier with my enemies than if I resisted them. Matthew, and we went over this. Remember this? Matthew 5, verse 43 through 45. Jesus is still teaching the Sermon on the Mount, which is what we're going through today. You have heard that it was said, you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy. This is what was taught, but not by the Bible. He said, you heard it said. How many people tell you that today? Man, you better get so-and-so for what they did to you. People say that today, right? Love your friends and hate your enemies. Or what is it now? Keep your enemies closer. But I say to you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you. Wow. Love your enemies. Okay, so God displays his common grace to even non-believers. Do they not enjoy the sun, food, life, and such? Now think about this for a moment. The Bible clearly teaches us that anyone who does not believe in God is his enemy. I didn't say that. That's what the Bible teaches. But does he not allow people who do not believe in Jesus to walk in the sunlight, to gaze upon beautiful mountains, to have the rain come down and water their crops, to feed them as well? Does not God display love to every person? Of course he does. But not every person accepts that love. But that does not stop God from giving the love. It shouldn't stop us either. We shouldn't judge whether or not we're going to love or care for anyone because of what we're getting back from that person. Because if we do, then our love was not genuine. It was fake, superficial, conditional. Oh, well, you're going to treat me bad. I'm going to stop loving you. I beg to differ. You never love that person. Because love keeps no record of wrong. Christians are to be loving, kind, and generous to all people, not just to those whom we care for. This kind of love puts the golden rule into practice, and it's perfect in the eyes of God because it is his love we are giving. It is the love of Jesus. The golden rule demands us to give selfish, sacrificial, and unconditional love to others. I think I should read that again. The golden rule demands us to give selfless, sacrificial, and unconditional love to others. This love is called agape love, and it is the highest of the four types of love in the Bible. See, I love Sundays, but I love people. I love my wife, but I love my deacons, and I love my church. Which love am I talking about? Do I love my deacons the same way I love my wife? I would hope not. There's all kinds of different kinds of love, isn't there? But agape love is love in action. It's a love that demands action. It's a love that says, I'm not just talking, I'm walking the talk. I'm doing what I'm saying. Praise God. Jesus showed us all selfless, sacrificial, and unconditional love when he went to the cross and died for our sins. they were our sins. They weren't his sins. He died for us, not for himself. He gave everything so that he could buy us back. Is there somebody in your life that you wouldn't do anything for? Is there somebody in your life that you can think of right now that you would die for? Anybody? Think about that person. What if that person was just the most awfulest person in the world? Would you still love them? Well, God sent his son to die for us, even while we were still in our sins. It is so important to remember that he loves us unconditionally. But see, we're not prisoners of that love. Have you ever been in a relationship, ask yourself this, you don't need to raise your hand, where you felt love for somebody, but they didn't feel the same for you? And they were with you, but they were not in love with you. And as much as it pained you, as much as it hurt you, you had to sever that relationship, because after a while it becomes a selfish relationship, because you love that person. You don't want to lose them, but you know they don't love you. You have to let them go. Anyone who does not accept Jesus Christ has no love for the Father, because Jesus and the Father are one. He who accepts the Son accepts the Father also. God will not force any one of us in here to be in his kingdom. As much as he loves each and every person on this planet, not every person loves God enough to spend eternity with him. Because how can we say we love somebody and we don't spend time with them? I've had people in my life tell me they love me but never come over and even watch a show with me. Don't spend any time with you. That's not love. In closing, I want to say, the only way we can give love to others is to first accept the love of God through his son, Jesus Christ. We don't have any love of our own. We don't have this love that God demands. He does. And we need it from him first and foremost before we can give it. We must begin there first. Then, with the love of Christ, we can truly begin to love others as we love ourselves.
This is Misha again to remind you that James loves hearing from his listeners. You can contact him via email at james@awordfromgod.net. Again, that's james@awordfromgod.net. Or write to James Lindley Ministries, P.O. Box 8082, Springfield, Missouri 65801. And be sure to visit us online at www.awordfromgod.net. I'm Misha Pelkey for A Word from God.
And I'm James Lindley, and I want to thank you for listening. And I pray that God will bless you immensely from this message.